gelip amma bak. Alhamdulillah. Tonight is the 8th of July in the year 2020. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the final night, the 27th, that we're going through the exalted lives of the noble couple, Sayyidina Abu Talha and Sayyidina Sulaim radiallahu anhu. And the last thing I mentioned was the age of Sayyidina Abu Talha when he passed away to glory. He passed away during the Khalifat of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu in the year 51 AH at the age of 70. As recorded by Hafiz Ibn al-Athir in his Al-Kamil fi al-Tariq, volume 1, page 19 to 20. So, Sayyidina Muawiyah's Khalifat was a long Khalifat. It was 20 years. And many of the eminent personalities passed away during his Khalifat. Most of the mothers of the believers passed away during his Khilafat. And other eminent personalities also left the world. And it was also a good time to leave the world. The reason being is that the fitna of Imam Hussein's martyrdom occurred shortly after Hazrat Muawiyah's passing away. And this is why Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would make dua, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please save me from the 59th year or the 60th year." And this refers to the year where the fitna was going to erupt. And note, Hazrat Muawiyah, when he passed away, the fitna erupted. Yazid ibn Muawiyah's Khalifat, in the first year, Imam Hussein was martyred, radiallahu, together with the illustrious family members. In the second year, the holy Kaaba was catapulted because of the rebellion against his Khilafat. And so note, the fitna erupted. Abu Talha was spared that. He passed away during Sayyidina Muawiyah's Khalifat, radiallahu. So in conclusion, to mention words of praise with regards to the noble Ansar radiallahu ta'ala. So first of all, in a hadith in Dayrukutni in his Al-Afrad, Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus number 223, Kanz al-Oman number 33,724, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Honor and respect the Ansar radiallahu ta'ala, for they have brought up Islam like a chick is brought up in its nest." Subhanallah. Honor and respect the Ansar radiallahu ta'ala, for they have brought up Islam like a chick is brought up in its nest. So in this beautiful hadith, the Holy Prophet gave you a very powerful image, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the image was like a mother looking after its chick in the nest. So if you were to describe a chick in the nest, it's totally dependent and is open to anything. No, it can't defend itself. And the Prophet said, Islam was like that. Allah Ta'ala obviously was going to protect his deen, but there was a time when it was very weak. And then he said, honor and respect the Ansar radiallahu ta'ala, because they brought up Islam like a chick is brought up in its nest. So he likened the Ansar to the mother. And if you look at their sacrifices, you realize that, right? From day one, why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not say this about the Muhajirun radiallahu ta'ala? And one of the ways to clarify upon that is that all the jihad took place in Al-Madinah. There was no jihad in Makkah. It was a time of patience. Badr all the way up to Tabuk occurred in the phase of Al-Madinah. So the Sahaba, the Ansar, were the foremost. Most of the Badris were the Ansar, radiallahu ta'ala. So note, how can you honor and respect them when you don't know who they are? You don't know what sacrifices they've done, right? So note, there's actually another message within the hadith, meaning learn what sacrifice, what these great men and women have done. And going through the great lives of Abu Talha and Sulaim, you get a glimpse of that. You think, what else can a man and woman give to the glorious deed? And this is why I mentioned the reports. In Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, the Prophet clearly articulated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ayatul iman hubbul ansar." The sign of iman is love for the ansar. "Wa ayatul nifaqi bughdul ansar." And the sign of hypocrisy is hated for the Ansar. So now the Prophet is highlighting another very, very important aspect with regards to the Ansar. He's saying that Iman is love for the Ansar. Ayat, that's a sign. Ayat also means a miracle. But here it means a sign. That means you've got a proof that you've got Iman because you love the Ansar. The Prophet said, question, how can you love a people when you know little or nothing about them? It doesn't make sense. Think of the things that you love. From your family, why do you love them? Because you know what they've done for you. You look at anything else. Where is it that you can say, I love something and you know nothing about it? That only applies to these Muslims. We love the Ansar. Mention 10 names of the Ansar. And watch them start squirming. 10. You said you love them. I'm just asking you a simple question. Just name 10 of the Ansar. If he hasn't got that, then where's the sign? Well, then the warning is, sign of hypocrisy is hatred for the Ansar. How can you hate them? You know, if you think about that, the only way you can have hatred for them is somebody's polluting you, giving you incorrect knowledge about these people. And you end up, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with hypocrisy. Astaghfirullah. Similarly, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ أَبْغَدَهُمْ أَبْغَدَهُ اللَّهُ Whoever loves them is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever hates them is hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. This is another secret with regards to the righteous. If you love the Ansar, Allah ta'ala loves you. So what's the obvious question that goes to your mind? But what if my deeds are weak? So, you know, for example, hypothetically, a person knows so much about the Ansar, studied their lives, venerates and respects them, but he's weak in his amal, hypothetically. Is he in a good state? And the response is, Allah Ta'ala loves him. Because if he truly loves them, Allah Ta'ala loves. Who said that? Rasulullah, in Bukhari and Muslim. And this echoes what the Prophet said. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sahaba goes, Ya Rasulullah, a person loves others, but their deeds aren't like his. In other words, the sahaba was thinking that I can't really say I love somebody unless I've got deeds like them. That's what he was really asking. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? You will be with those whom you love. He negated that. Because you will be with those whom you love, meaning... And then he goes, but my deeds aren't like this. And the Prophet reiterated it again. You will be with those whom you love. Meaning, it doesn't matter your deeds are weak. If you love a people, genuinely love them, you'll be with them. And what did Anas radiallahu anhu say? He said in Tirmidhi, this was the most comforting hadith we have heard from Rasulullah. And then he said something amazing in Bukhari and Muslim. I love Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I love Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. But my deeds aren't like theirs. But because of my love for them, I hope to be with them. So what Anas said, though he had amazing deeds, he goes, who can compare to the deeds of Rasulullah and the two greatest men after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But he made the key statement, but because of my love for them, I hope to be with them. And if you're with them, how can you get punished? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever loves them, the Ansar, Allah ta'ala loves them. But then he says, whoever despises, hates them, Allah Ta'ala hates them. Now flip the coin. You got another person, phenomenal deeds. Salat, fasting, sadaqah, dhikr, jihad, you tick, he's ticking the boxes, everything's in order. But he hates the Ansar. So now think about it. Will those deeds benefit him? How can they? When Allah Ta'ala hates him. The whole point of your deeds is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, people don't even know how to articulate that. Why are you doing this? Why are we in the masjid now? Is it to please Allah? Yes. Why are you praying? To please Allah. Why are you doing all these deeds when He's already upset with you? What's caused His anger? Your hatred for the Ansar. You have to get rid of that. Otherwise, there's no point in your deeds. He's angry with you. You've nullified the purpose of your deeds. And this is why it's so important to study their lives. You know, think about that. You know, the Quran, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? In Surah Hud alayhi salatu wa salam, we have only related to you about the messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam, to strengthen your heart thereby. We have only related to you, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the messengers, the narratives of the messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam, to strengthen your heart thereby. Question: is Rasulullah's heart to be strengthened? Sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he had the greatest heart. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm mentioning your brothers to you, your fathers to you, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he will strengthen your heart. Why is he strengthening his heart? Because talking about the righteous has a profound impact on the heart. Allah Ta'ala looks at your hearts before your deeds. Sahih Muslim. What does the Quran say? If you recount the messengers, I strengthen your heart. Meaning, I'm going directly to the root which will give you success. What did the Salaf say? When you mention the righteous, blessings descend. This is mentioned by the Salaf, Sufyan ibn Uyayna. When you mention them, think about that. You're not even with them. They have passed away. They're in Jannat al-Firdaus. We're talking. Allah Ta'ala loves them that much that if you mention them, blessings will descend on you. What's these blessings? The blessings is the heart. Allah Ta'ala is going to look after you. What did Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam pray for? Allahumma inni as'alaka hubbaka wa hubba min yuhibbaka wal amal alladhi yubadlini hubbaka. Allahumma jal hubbaka hubbaka aliyya min nafsi wa ahli wa min al ma'il barid. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask you for your love. That's the first thing he asked for. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. I ask you subhanahu wa ta'ala for your love. The love of all those whom you love. Rasulullah is making that dua. The one who's given the Zabur. The love, I'm asking you, give me the love of all those whom you love. Are we making that dua? Rasulullah is making it. Why is that important? Because that is where success lies. And the love of all the deeds which take me to you, to your love. Make your love dearer to me than myself, my family, than cold water on a hot day. This is in Tirmidhi, Hassan and Riyad al-Salihin. The Prophet said, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam made this dua. No, they're making this dua for the righteous. And also, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he made a dua for their forgiveness. Allahumma ghfir lil ansar wal abna'il ansar wabna'il abna'il ansar. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive the ansar, the children of the ansar and the grandchildren of the ansar. As if they needed it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't forget the dua of the Prophet was more beloved to them than their deeds. We don't appreciate the duas of the Prophets. You know what, let me highlight this. Sometimes there's a particular deed which becomes priceless, not because of the deed, but because of Rasulullah's dua for it. So for instance, in Tirmidhi Hassan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever offers, O my Lord, whoever offers four rakats before Asr, have mercy upon them. So that four rakats sunnah before Asr is now become priceless. Why? Because you got nothing to do with it. You just do your four rakats. Rasulullah has made a dua for you. Have mercy on the one. So to get the dua of Rasulullah is something you should be very, very alert to. People don't, you know, fail to highlight this. Another example of his dua. He made a dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sahaba. Just mentioned it. Oh Allah, love those who love them and hate those who hate them. It's his dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should be looking for these priceless duas of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu ended his life with martyrdom, i.e. he passed away in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are so dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala mentions two things about them, but with a slight difference in each verse. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2 verse 154, he mentions, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ عَمْوَاتِ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And do not say of those who are slain in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are dead. No, they are living, although you are not perceiving it. So this is a divine command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't say it. If you say it, you've disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't say, for instance, Hamza radiallahu anhu is dead. You're prohibited from saying that. Right? Hanzala radiallahu anhu is dead. Because the Quran is telling you, do not say, wala taqulu, with your mouth, those who are slain in the path of Allah, they are dead. They are alive. But you do not perceive it. So this is the first, now the other verse, difference. In Surah Ali Imran, Surah Thi, verse 169, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Do not think those who are slain in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as dead. Nay, they live finding their sustenance in the presence of their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the difference. People fail to highlight this. What is the difference in this verse? What is Allah the Almighty and Glory saying now?
They have their sustenance in the presence of Allah.
You missed it. There's a difference with the first verse.
The first one says, don't say it. The second verse says, think.
Do not think. He easily missed. You're not listening, right? وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا. Do not think. Now look how interesting that is. Why is Allah Ta'ala doing that? Because it's easier to control your mouth. He starts with this. Do not say it. But ultimately Allah Ta'ala says, don't think it. What is their status? That we can't even think that. Allahu Akbar. Then he says, which the brother mentioned correctly, they find their rizq in the presence of their Lord. Allah Ta'ala goes, they're in my presence. I'm sustaining them. And what's incredible is, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You can't perceive it. But sometimes he shows you. You know, many examples. Sayyidina Hamza was martyred radiallahu anhu. And then many years later, Muawiyah's Khalifa, there was a flood. And then the narration in Imam Malik's Muwatta says that they were respectfully removing the body. And the body was fresh. 40 years later, 50 years later. And by accident, somebody cut his leg and blood came out. Not only was the body fresh, blood was still circulating. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala shows you, 40 years later, blood still circulating. I want to see this person. Right? Think about that. And the scholars even add, Allah Ta'ala wanted to give him another mark of jihad. Even in the barzakh, imagine. Right? You know, 40 years later, you still got another mark. You know, somebody's going to still, because they're chief of martyrs. Which person can say that? You know, 50 years after they're martyred, there's still another mark left. Subhanallah. Right? And also, Fatima radiallahu anha, she would go to Hamza every Saturday to pay her respects. And she would say, I can hear his salam. I would give the salam and he would let, I can hear it. What's happening? Right? So when you go, don't say it, don't think it. So who's being given the honor? Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu anha. Think about that. And you know what makes you laugh is the non-Muslims. You know, they got no guidance. And what do they say? To praise their warder. We will never forget. You know, they say that. They put their hand on their heart. We will never forget them. But then you think, well, mashallah, but Allah Ta'ala has told us something far greater for our martyrs. Don't even think they are dead. Right? You know, think about that. Look at the huge difference. We're never going to forget. Allah Ta'ala goes, don't even say they're dead. This is the honor that we're supposed to give them. And with regards to all the companions, this is very important. There was no rotten apples amongst the companions. This is the Rawafid's belief, because they were rotten apples. Where's the proof? Quran. Surah Al-Hadid, Surah 57, verse 10. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He articulates clearly, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. Not equal amongst you are those who spent and fought before the victory. أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. Those are higher in rank than those who spent and fought thereafter. وَقُلًا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. And to all has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised husna, i.e. paradise, beauty, excellence. So what does it mention? First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the sahaba. We're not in this equation. Only the sahaba. He goes, amongst you, those who fought and spent before Hudaybiyah, they are greater than those who fought and spent after Hudaybiyah, which was the 6th year after the Hijrah. That was a milestone. Anybody of the Sahaba who came after Hudaybiyah, they can never now be equal to those who came before. The Quran was spent and fought. But then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَقُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى To all, قُلْ وَقُلًّا To all of them has Allah the Almighty wa'ada. He's promised. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى To all of them I have promised paradise. How clear do you want it, brother? I'm not an Arab. But قُلْ means every. قُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ قُلًّا Does that mean 20%? 70%? Right? Allah Ta'ala has told you in the Quran. Absolutely. Because the difference is amongst them. But every one of them, they have got my promise of paradise, of my happiness. We haven't got that. And the Prophet highlighted this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the relevant report, Abu Dawud Sahih. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, who are the safe ones, Ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one that myself and my companions are on. The one that myself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and my companions are on. They are the safe ones. Did he say, the one myself and Muhajirun? Didn't say that. Myself and the Badris. Didn't say that. Myself and everybody before Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Didn't say that. Myself and my companions, echoing the Quran. The Prophet would never contradict the Quran, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No rotten apples. Why? And you've insulted the teacher. The immensity of the prophetic rank, the scholars say, the immensity of the prophetic rank. Why? He was the teacher. And you're saying he had failures, student failures. There's some teachers we know who all their students passed. Are they better than Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They all were signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in reality, they were chosen. Allah Ta'ala handpicked, He looked at their hearts, like Ibn Mas'ud said, He chose each and every one. And the only way to appreciate the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud is to study their lives. We've gone through Abu Talha's life. Was he not a chosen servant? You appreciate it. He wasn't. Absolutely. Sulaim's life. Was she a chosen servant? And then you appreciate what Ibn Mas'ud saying. There's no way on earth these are normal people. And then you say, well, these were the students. That's what knocks a person out of the ballpark. These were the students. Right? Who's their teacher? He had one teacher, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also in the Quran, specifically about the Ansar, and specifically about Abu Talha. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? In Surah Al-Hashr, Surah 59, verse 9. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. But those before them had homes in Al-Madina and had embraced the faith. They showed their affection to such as came to them for refuge. They entertained no desire in their hearts for things given to the latter. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا They prefer others above themselves, even though they themselves are in need. Indeed, those saved from the covetousness of their souls, they are the ones that are successful. Look how beautiful. The Ansar are mentioned here. What's their striking trait? They sacrifice. They were the sacrifices. They just gave. Allah Ta'ala praises them for that. Who was that verse revealed for? Abu Talha. As if he was a spokesman Allah Ta'ala wanted to use when he looked after his guest. And this verse was revealed. Allah Ta'ala specifically praising the Ansar, but within the verse of the praise of the Ansar, He's mentioning Abu Talha as if to say he's one of the leaders. And finally, in Surah Tawbah, Surah 9, verse 100, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ The first of the first, the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and those who follow them in goodness, well pleased is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them, as are they with Him. For them has He prepared gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever. Behold, that is the supreme triumph. Subhanallah. So look at this beautiful verse, Surah 9, verse 100. three categories are mentioned. وَالسَّابِقُونُ الْأَوَّلُ Sabiqun means the first, the forerunners. أَوَّلُون means first. So in English, it's a very strange statement to make. The first of the forerunners. Or the best way in English, even though it's not literal, is the best of the best. The crème de la crème in French. What's that? They're the first. Then Allah Ta'ala says, amongst the Muhajirun. Muhajirun then are mentioned. Then the Ansar. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ Those who followed them in goodness, the Tabi'een. تَبَعُوهُمْ In goodness, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ Allah Ta'ala is well pleased with them, and they are well pleased with Him. Meaning, if you follow them in goodness, how do you follow the Sahaba in goodness if you're not even studying their lives? You'll notice when you go through the lives of the Sahaba, you're thinking, I should be doing that. I should be getting this into my life. I should be sacrificing. That's what the Quran is telling you to do. By following them, and look at the honorable title for the students of the Sahaba. Think about that. Why are they called Tabi'in? When they're Mujahids. When they're Zakits. When they're the pure ones. 100%. Why are they called Tabi'in? Because Allah Ta'ala has called them that. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ Those who follow them. Allah Ta'ala gives the titles. So it goes, they're the followers. Look how interesting. And then who are the next ones? تَبَ تَابِين Those who follow them. Because the Prophet added that category. The Sahaba, the Tabi'in and تَبَ تَابِين The golden generations. Right? The ones that we get guidance from. And look how beautiful. Their lives are preserved in the divine revelation. Allah Ta'ala loves them that much. He preserved the Sahaba more in the revelation. The Tabi'in less so and the Taba Tabi'in less. Nobody else has the honor. Think about that. Any person you mention in history, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, do we go to revelation? We have to go to the historical works, right? You know, no disrespect to the great Imam. You know, he's infinitely greater than us. But we can't go to the Quran and Sunnah because he's not from the Salaf. So why is their lives preserved? Because Allah Ta'ala has given them the stamp, His happiness, His approval. And this makes absolute sense. And one of the scholars to finish, he said, the prophetic rank was so immense. Because it was like, the best way to describe it is like an explosion. Those who received the greatest impact of the prophetic explosion were the Sahaba. Those who received it to a lesser degree, but still a huge impact were the Tabi'in. And because the waves are dying out. Well, we got that little ripple that you get at the end. It just made it to the shore. That's why we've come further from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what's interesting, the further out you go from Rasulullah, what happens? The fitna increases. The closer you get to the prophetic age, the more the fitna is in check. SubhanAllah. So no important things to mention when concluding the lives of the great and noble companions. We ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the true love for such noble and blessed souls and to also give us the tawfiq to follow in their glorious footsteps. And any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa bi billahi minash shaitanir rajim, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asli min lisani lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa asbihaq, wal asbi sabaq, sadaqallahu al-azim.